Support comes from the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at the University of Southern Mississippi. OLLI offers classes, seminars, and socials, both in-person and online, to help individuals continue in their love of learning. Registration ongoing. More at usm.edu/OLLI.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Felder Rushing, and we got a room full of folks here today. We're going to talk about gardening with you for two solid hours. And in return, you're going to listen to us asking you to become part of our team. That's just part of it. But it is a live call-in program. There's no screen here. So, Java, you're going to have to tell me some of my calls and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. I can't see it with my bifocals anyway.
I was about to say, that's usually how it goes anyway. I read the names.
Yeah. How you doing this morning?
Doing good, man. We're in our final day of drive time. And, the Felder Rushing Gestalt Gardener listeners have always been so kind to us. So we thought we'll be a little kind, give them 2 hours of garden talk.
Yeah, talking about stuff. And I got plenty to talk about, but it is a live program. So if you want to give us a call, it's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. I brought some stuff from my garden to talk about, just to, not so much brag, but, you know, because I'm not a good gardener. I'm a garden expert. You know, I've written the books and all that kind of stuff, and I went to college, and I've worked in garden centers and nurseries and blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to actually growing stuff, I'm just okay. I can plant stuff really well. But I mean, for example, this year I planted a bunch of sweet potatoes. Well, let me back up. The cauliflower.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
You doing
from
that.
From your garden.
My garden. It wasn't great cauliflower, but I grew it. Well, I also planted a bunch of sweet potatoes and gave them everything they needed to grow, not too much fertilizer, a lot of sun, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I dug them last week, and I had I harvested about as many as I planted.
I know. Just last week the guy called in about the green onions, and he was saying why they weren't, not the green onions, the peppers.
Yeah, the peppers.
And he said why they weren't getting big, and you was like, mine aren't either.
No, that's right. I did grow a lot of peppers and all, but I brought some of my wildflowers that I enjoy because they're pretty. They attract butterflies and pollinators and all like that, but also they just make my garden look like it's part of Mississippi. And I brought a few heirloom plants that I've been growing that came from different gardens. There are roses and some chrysanthemums and stuff. And also, my parsley. You've heard parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme?
The holy trinity. Well, no, not the holy trinity.
It's a quadruple.
There you go.
Holy quadrangle or whatever. Well, my sage rotted.
You know,
sage
come on.
Doesn't like a lot of rainfall. I got a lot of rainfall. But I managed to get some lavender to grow, which it'll rot sooner or later. But anyway, so I've got parsley, lavender, rosemary, and thyme.
So lavender is a frequent essential oil around my house.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But these others you can eat. But anyway, between them and these the folks here at MPB, the drive time folks, they're prettier than we are. They smell between the herbs and them. It smells good in here.
Not our usual Friday morning smell.
No, but it is a call-in program. So, folks, if you got some things on your here it is towards the end of October, mind give us a call and let's talk about stuff. I'm wide open for ideas.
Is it time for the kale and the cold lettuces?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I planted garlic. Finally, I've been talking about it for all these weeks. I finally planted garlic last week.
Okay,
watered it a couple of three times and it's up already.
Oh,
and I got some kale plants. I set them out to plant, and something came along and nibbled the top of them off.
I wonder what it was.
I don't know, but probably mice or some squirrels. I don't know, but anyway, I'm gonna get some more this weekend. I'm gonna actually plant them because my little raised bed garden. I actually put a little chicken wire fence around it. So once they get inside the compound, they're okay.
Okay.
But sitting out on my deck waiting for me to plant, it's a race between dying because I didn't plant them or something eating them besides me.
Well, so, yeah, we're going to be having some pledge breaks in between today's show. Also, more cheesy tunes than normal. But today is a call-in program. I know it's unorthodox for us on a drive time, but it is a two-hour show. We're going to be looking for your phone calls this morning for Felder to give you some help with your southern garden this morning.
Yeah, so if you want to give us a call or whatever. I know a lot of people have got questions because one of the things I did this year is I joined the Mississippi Gardening Facebook thing. thing where people send in pictures of their gardens, and sometimes they have, what's this? And, you know, we've got problems, or here's something that I really, really enjoy, that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people concerned about things that you can do about, and some things you can't do anything about. And that's where I come in, because it doesn't matter to me what people want to do or not. You want to have a fine, fancy golf course type lawn, I'm a turf guy. You want to have wildflowers, I'm a wildflower guy. So whatever you want to do, I'm going to try to tell it from the garden's point of view rather than an opinion point of view. That makes sense.
Yeah, that was just last week, too. You said you're going to tell it from the grass point of view.
Yeah,
not so much of what the person, you know, this is what the grass wants.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's the truth. You know, right now there's not much you can do. Raise your mower, you know, as high as you can. Let the grass grow go into the wintertime high so it has lit. But you'll also have fewer problems with weeds next spring, because the weeds need sunshine to sprout, and you're cutting it close gives them. So you got problems with stickers. That tells me you're mowing your grass too close.
There you go.
Plain and simple.
Now let's go ahead. We got a phone call this morning during this special 2-hour edition of the Gestalt Gardener, and let's talk with Bill from Greenwood.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Felder. If I knew he's gonna be on 2 hours, I wouldn't have been in such a hurry to call you.
Well, what's
but
up, man?
Anyway, I haven't been able to take care of my yard. I've been sick and. It's kind of got out of hand, and I started noticing as it got cooler, some red berries. I said, I wonder if I've got a yaupon or something growing. But what it is a great big old crazy vine. It's all up in my trees, and it's everywhere. And it's got pretty red berries on it. I've never had seen that before.
Yeah.
Is that unusual? Came up.
Yeah, are they little clusters of really bright red berries?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's actually a native plant, and it's got a weird name. It's called Carolina snail seed. And the reason why, if you take one of those berries and rub the seed out of it, it's like a curled up snail shell. I mean, I'm not can't make stuff up that quick on a Friday morning. But Carolina snail shell, the Latin name is Cocculus carolinus or something like that. Anyway, it's a great native plant, and the leaves will turn yellow and then fall off later in the fall, and you'll have those little chains of bright red berries scattered all through your plant.
Oh, will the birds eat them?
Well, that's how it got there. The birds ate it, and they dropped that little snail seed-looking thing in your yard. Yep. So cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've got another thing. I went to Walmart back in the spring, and I bought a real beautiful-looking expensive flower. It was unusual. It had orange. It was real green, but it had orange blooms all over it. But it didn't have any name of the plant or anything. And of course, you know, it died as soon as it bloomed.
Yeah.
I was wondering what kind of bulb or
don't know.
Plant that
don't know. You know, I made a pretty accurate guess on the Carolina snail seed, but a plant that had orange flowers that died, no idea, man. Sorry.
Really?
Yep, sorry.
Well
anyway, next time if you get one, take a picture of it so we can talk about it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Why didn't I think about that?
All righty, man.
Thank you, Felder.
Appreciate your call. So, I'm one for two.
You went, because you didn't. Well, I mean, it's kind of hard. This is like a billion flowers with green.
Orange. I can guess, you know. My horticulture brain is not like a computer. It's like a book, and I can flip through the pages real quick and overlay things, and I immediately have plants, orange, and it got complicated. They said, then it died, I'm thinking. And then it said Walmart, and they get stuff from all over the country, so no tell. But if it had just come up, I'd have probably known it.
It's like an input overload.
Exactly.
Well, let's go to Jim in Jackson up next this morning.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Felder. How are you?
Good.
I was curious about your comment about growing lavender, because I had always understood it really wouldn't survive a Mississippi summer. Do you know what variety you got?
Yeah, I grow a variety called Phenomenal. It's a fairly new variety. It's a patented variety, but and you can get it. I've seen it at garden centers and online, but Phenomenal is a traditional lavender, and it'll take the heat and the humidity a little bit better than some of the others, even down in Florida. But even then, if you don't shear it every year, keep it, you know, small, if you let it get, you know, woody and all like that, sooner or later, a heavy rain is going to take it out. It just doesn't like our hot, humid summer nights. And throwing some rain on it, it just steams it. But lavender growing in a pot or planted on top of the ground with gravel piled up to it, never watered, has a better than average chance of surviving, at least for a while. If you treat it like a 1 or 2 year annual, it grows great. And a lot of people spend as much money on their pepper plants as you could set out a little lavender every year. So the main thing, it just won't grow for years and years like it will in a cooler climate.
Gotcha. I understand. All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Appreciate it. Yeah, I just learned about Phenomenal about 3 or 4 years ago, and I got a plant now that's 3 years old.
That, you know? Yeah. That actual plant right there?
Yeah, well, and it actually roots to the idea where you plant some of this Phenomenal variety, and then every year shear it to keep it, you know, young and, you know, not letting it get old and woody, but just keep it young with new growth. And the stuff you cut off, you can turn it into a pillowcase or whatever you do with lavender, or else you can just root it and keep you some new plants coming on all along. So, you know, it just takes a little bit more horticulture than just sticking it out and expecting it to live.
Yeah, because you said it's more for a cooler climate, right?
Yep. It'll grow hanging off a hillside along the Mediterranean, but it cools down at night there. And what kills our plants, what kills plants from Europe and places like that, is when it cools down here at night to higher than it gets up to there.
There you go.
And human. Well, you know what it's like.
Yeah, no, yeah. You know?
So anyway, it's a, how are we going to do the drive time thing? I mean, we've never done this thing before.
Yeah, it's a special 2-hour program. So I know Bill from Greenwood, he said if he would have known it was 2 hours, he would have waited to call. But that's not what we want people to do. We want people to call in now and get your Southern Gardening questions answered. But as we do each and every drive time, Felder, this has really become like a tradition. I want, and before we go to Liz and Lisa, who's going to give us some more information about players this morning, I want you to set up this Gus Muhammad song, because I see it's been since 2018 when he was doing the Dear Felders. Yeah. We've been playing this song.
Gus, an old friend from up in Belzone, and he's a nurse. And he records stuff. He's a cool performer, but he did this thing he's been supporting MPB for a long time, one of our best supporters. And he decided to come up with a little jingle to help us out. So this is Gus Muhammad from Belzona, and he did a special drive time thing called Dear Felder, Dear Felder.
And after this, we're going to be listening to Lisa and Liz tell us some more about how you can support during this drive time special 2-hour edition of the Gestalt Gardener.
And we're not going to do this if it doesn't work. So folks, give us a call, because you know this is, you know, we're not just doing an hour of just begging stuff. We're having fun for a couple hours, and in turn, keep us on the air.
And I see the calls are coming in, so they're listening. They're listening. Give us a call, 1-888-372-4483, to send us your pledge. And here's Gus Muhammad.
Dear Felder, we sure love your show. You play cheesy music and share what you know about gardening and fun things and making things pretty, helping us all, even kids, to get dirty. Signed, Dear Gardener. Dear Gardener, Dear Gardener, I love what we do. By planting and tending, we help the world too. Your phone calls and emails help Java and me jive. Now please call, support us, and keep this show live. Signed, Dear Felder.
Hey, this is Larry Morrissey with the Mississippi Arts Commission. I'm one of the hosts of the Mississippi Arts Hour, the arts interview show on Think Radio. Each week, myself or one of my fellow hosts bring you in-depth interviews with different creative Mississippians. We talk with visual artists, musicians, writers, as well as people who help bring the arts to their communities. We hear about how each artist learned their craft and get some insight into their creative process. You can hear the Arts Hour every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Think Radio, or listen anytime by subscribing to the show through your favorite podcasting app.
Playing with my friends. That's what I'm doing. I'm having a good time. All these folks at MPB, they make it easy for me to come in once a week and just yak with people about gardening. And I got plenty of stuff to yak about, but it's a call-in program like usual. So we're going to start off by going down to Mobile, Alabama. Good morning, Louise. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Felder. I'm just fine. I'm out here in my yard trimming stuff.
Ain't it a pretty day?
Oh, boy, the best. Yeah, I have a question about my satsumas. Last year I had so many small to medium-sized satsumas, really juicy. I trimmed them like you told me that when they started coming up being about cherry size.
Uh-huh.
And I had more than I could give away. This year, I have a few, maybe a dozen. They're huge, and they're kind of juicy, but the membrane is really tough.
Yeah.
So what is it I did wrong? Was I supposed to fertilize them or something?
You know, I don't, but this is over the whole tree. It's not just one branch, right?
Right. Well, half of the tree, the other half has nothing on it.
Yeah.
But it's several branches.
Well, assuming that it's not something that came up from below the graft and you've got a, you know, your rootstock sprouting, so assuming it is a satsuma, you know, a lot of things affect fruit production. One is this thing called biennial bearing. A lot of times a fruit plant will make a heavy crop one year and it weakens it and it just does, you know, okay the next year. You know, this is real common in some things like apples and pecans are notorious. It'll have a good crop one out of every 4 years and that's about it. Followed by a nothing year and then a couple of so-so. So it could just be that and the weather, you know. So, you know, but follow those branches back. And as long as they're connected to the tree itself and it, so we know it is a satsuma not coming from down, you know, near the ground, then it's just going to be a weather thing. That's all it is. Sometimes, you know, some years it works, some years it doesn't.
I like that. I have one more question that you can answer.
Sure.
Fertilizing. I'm always really not doing it. Is this a bad time of the year? Should I wait till April to fertilize anything like the bushes?
In general, we want to put fertilizer out there when the plants can use it, which is early in the growing season. You know, so late winter, spring is the time to fertilize things that grow over the summertime. The only things I'd fertilize in the fall would be things that grow over the winter, like daffodils and, you know, things that come up in the fall, bloom in the spring, and then die down. You know, that's the beginning of their season. But in general, you fertilize sometime in the late winter or spring, and a lot of people say you do it this way and you do it that way, and it's not that big a deal. And you don't have to do it every year. You know, Aunt Mamie never fertilized nothing, and her plants did fine. They would have done better, you know. But the main thing is don't over-fertilize. All the recommendations are based on commercial production, and it assumes you're doing all sorts of other stuff like watering and all that. So, in general, if you throw a little fertilizer under your trees and shrubs, I'm going to say every 3 or 4 years. Every 2 or 3 years would be better. More than once a year, eh, not that big a deal. So sometime in the late winter, spring, every year or 2 or 3 or 4.
Since I haven't been kind of lazy the last 2 years, I will just have to do nothing until spring, before spring, late winter. What about watering right now?
Nope. Well, if it's really, really dry, I watered a couple of plants the other day. I hate to water. I dislike watering so much that I needed a hose exactly 11 feet long to reach my potted plants. So I took a 25-foot hose, the shortest I could buy, and I cut it off to 11 feet so I don't have to roll up 25 feet. I got to put my thumb over the end of the hose, over the end of the hose, because I didn't get a little squirt thing on the end. But, you know, the main thing is give plants a good soaking at least once a month that we go without rain.
But just potted ones.
Oh, no. You pot it, you know, potted plants when they get dry. Potted plants dry out more quickly. I'm talking about stuff, you know, you ride around Mobile, old part of Mobile, you can see all sorts of trees and shrubs and flowers, and it hadn't been watered ever. And they do okay. So the main thing, help them out. In-ground stuff, at least once a month if you can. But potted plants, as soon as they get dry.
And the lawn?
You know, if you ride around town, you see a lot of lawns in churches and schools and, you know, in old parts of town that never get watered. And they do okay. But grass, it grows best if it gets a good fertilizing, a good watering every 3 or 4 weeks to keep it going. But if you don't, it just shuts down. It'll come back as soon as it rains. So it's up to how much quality you want. And if you want it to really grow really, really well, fertilize it, water it. And if you just want to mow what grows, just mow what grows.
Okay. Put the fertilizer away for now until late winter.
That's right. You would not give a kid a Snickers bar right before bed. Well, don't fertilize your plants right before they go down for the winter.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You bet, Louie.
All my problem.
Hey, and by the way, I'm going to be in Mobile on the 30th in about a week and a half, 2 weeks, whenever the 30th is. We're doing this big plant swap that's at the Central Presbyterian Community Garden. Central Pres Church is down at Dolphin and St. Anne. Joe Pierce, a guy, they've been doing this for a long time. A lot of people bring plants, and, you know, it's a free thing. So, you know, grab a plant, get a friend, come on down on October the 30th, which is a Saturday. I'll be there in my truck with all the flowers growing in the back of it.
Okay. I went to see you when you had a talk down in, was it Fairhope? Baldwin County. I took a picture of your truck, and I got a picture of you, and I'm certainly going to be there on the 30th.
Okay, well, bring a plant. Let's have a good time.
I have to bring a plant? What about a
plant? You don't have to bring a plant. Louis. Don't bring a plant if you got one. Otherwise, just come on down, and depending on what the COVID thing is, we might may or may not hug each other's necks if you wear a mask.
Yeah, well, I think that's the next thing I do.
Okay. Well, we got to scoot, Louise. Look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
And by the way, Java, one of the pros and cons of this past year, one of the things, we all been cooped up, but we took MPB on the road this past spring.
Yeah, no, that was really fun, especially, I guess it was fun, the last stop of the tour.
Oh, you're going to bring this up.
In Cleveland. I have to, because you were in the truck.
With the flowers in the back.
With the flowers in the
Woo-hoo,
back.
Woohoo, Mr. Big Shot.
And I can say and Lisa was there. I can tell you were not following directions.
No, I said
stuck in the mud.
And it wasn't the mud. I got stuck in the grass.
We, including Executive Director Ronnie Agnew, had to come and push you out of the mud.
Yep. I took pictures.
Yeah, we have photographic evidence.
But we had fun. Looking back, it was funny. It was humorous, but it was so much fun, and so many people came out to join us in these live broadcasts.
Yeah, it was a very good time, because it was right after we had been, like you said, we had been cooped up, so it was good to go out and be amongst the people.
Yep, we went all over the place, and we were able to do that because of generous support of people.
Yes, it wouldn't have been possible without the help from the MPB Foundation, and the MPB Foundation is supported by the people who are listening to this program right now.
Yeah, so we got two numbers. One, if you want to call in and talk about gardening, and I can't remember the other ones at all.
Well, 1-877-MPB-RING, our regular number, 1-877-672-7464. If you have a garden question this morning.
Yeah.
But then if you want to be a supporter, you want to become a sustainer, or you want to make a one-time gift, it's 888-372-4483.
Oh, yeah. And, Lisa mentioned earlier that one of the prizes, not prizes, a drawing of three of my books. All these books I've written, only three are important to me. The Pass Along Plants, Slow Gardening, Maverick Gardens, about plants, process, and people. And we're putting that together as a little bundle for folks.
Also with the Amazon Kindle.
Oh, yeah.
With the gift card to get some books and things. So that's all in today's drawing.
But we really need folks to help out. We really do. It's a gamble doing a call-in program and drive time.
Yeah, but we've been getting a lot of support during this drive. So we want to thank everybody who's supported, but also want to thank everybody who's going to support, as we're here for 2 hours during the Gestalt Gardener. 1-877-MPB-RING, 1-877-672-7464 to get your Southern Gardening questions answered. But Felder, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You've been on the radio for
1983.
As I always
you
tell
weren't
you,
even born
I wasn't
in
even
Java.
Born yet. But when did you start doing the cheesy tune, though?
I've always done a cheesy tune. Always.
But where does this collection come from? Because this next song I want to play is, I don't even know how this was made.
Just like people who like corny jokes, they just sort of stick to you everywhere you go. And I hear cheesy tunes everywhere I go. And it's just to sort of lighten stuff up, just to make people smile. A lot of them are earworms.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are just cheesy.
Well, let me see if you can tell me where you found this one from.
Knows that the plants will grow. Plant man knows that the plants will grow. Plant man knows that the plants will grow. Plant man knows.
wouldn't even know where to find something like that, Felder. And I fancy myself a DJ, a good DJ.
I have no idea. That one, you know, I don't know. I don't remember. I mean, I've had that tune for a long time. Plant Man knows where the plants will grow. Plant Man. And, I don't know. But anyway, I appreciate that. We'd like people to give us a call and talk about gardening, but...
Yeah, this is a pledge drive show, and in one moment we're going to have Lisa and Liz give you more details on how you can support during this pledge drive, this special two-hour edition of the Gestalt Gardener pledge drive edition. So if you want your southern gardening questions answered, 1-877-MPB-RING, our general every Friday morning number, 1-877-672-7464, or you can give us a call to become a member, become a sustainer, 1-888-372-4483. That's 1-888-372-4483. You can even text the word give, G-I-V-E, to that number, 888-372-4483. And visit our website, mpbonline.org. Now, with more information, like I said, as promised, Liz and Lisa.
Thanks, Java. This is MPB Think Radio. We're in the middle of a Gestalt Gardener. Thank you for listening. I am Liz Gill. So, okay, here's the deal. These are the final hours of the on-air portion of the fall campaign, and we're looking to you to help make it successful. Think about what you can do as a citizen who believes in providing access to local news and local children's programs that make life better for you and countless others. Give an amount that's right for you. Call 888-372-4483 or do your part at mpbonline.org. And thanks. Folks, welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rush. We're talking about gardening, digging in the dirt, D-I-R-T, dirt, which, by the way, a lot of master gardeners get mad at me because I say dirt, Java.
It's not soil.
It's soil. But, you know, I'm from the South. I can't say soil. But soil is from French, soilier, which means it's French for dirt. Dirt is from Old English drit, which is English for soil.
And
so,
like,
this, you know, it's dirt. You know, you soil your pants. I mean, come on. You dig in the dirt.
It's like just a round and round with that one.
Well, you know, the whole idea of the Gestalt Gardener.
Herbs and herbs.
Oregano, oregano. Either. You know, potato, potato. The point is, gardening is not a set of rules. Horticulture is. Gardening is a big tent, and we don't care who you are, who your mom and them are, whether you like gardening, whether you just want to, you know, dig in the dirt, whatever. We are equal opportunity gardeners. And so whatever is your style, give us a call. It's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. And we're going to go back to the phone calls, go up to Water Valley. Larry, what's going on in the hills, man?
All right, how you doing?
So far, so good. I drove through your neck of the woods the other night on my way back from visiting the Oxford Community Center. I'm a community garden. What you got going on?
I've got daylilies. I've got several beds of daylilies. And after they bloom, I like to take some 5-6-year-old rotten gin trash,
mm-hmm.
and I cover them up, and I feed them. I call myself feeding them that during the wintertime. And they come back big and pretty every year.
Yeah.
But what can I spray that will kill the grass in these beds?
Hey, you know, that's a really, really good question because a lot of our grasses are perennial, like Bermuda grasses. They come up from roots. And, you know,
you put
other stuff on there, it's going to hurt your daylilies. And usually I don't recommend chemicals just because it's just general principle. If you can get away with it, don't. But there is one that only kills true grasses. It won't kill monkey grass, which is a lily. It won't kill irises. It won't kill daylilies. It only kills true grasses. The problem is you have to spray it on the grasses when they're young and small and actively growing, which means next spring. And it goes by a whole bunch. There's a bunch of different brands of it. You know, I think one's called Grass Be Gone and one's called Over the Top, but it only kills true grasses and then degrades into carbohydrates. It disappears, doesn't poison everything. So I can't remember all the different brand names, but I know the Grass
Be
Gone.
I've heard of that grass. Yeah, I've heard of Grass Be Gone.
Okay, not Weed Be Gone, because that'll take your daylilies out, too. But Grass Be Gone, and there's some other brand names. I try not to get into that here on MP, or anytime, really. But if you'll go to a garden center and say, I want the stuff that only kills grasses, they'll know what you're talking about. But again, okay, let the grasses come up in the spring, you know, when they're actively growing, that's when it works the best, not right now.
Okay. All righty.
No. I got a question for you. What's up with all these daylilies? Why are you, I'm going to say you people, you daylily people are nuts.
Well, I try to keep up with mine, and I'll dig them up and I'll separate them, and I'm up to around 560 something right now.
You know, daylily people just can't, you can't help yourselves, can you?
They're pretty. They're beautiful flowers.
Well, one thing I can say about daylily people, you know, the rose people, the iris people, the camellia people, all the different kinds of plant collector groups, daylily folks tend to have the most interesting gardens because y'all plant a lot of other stuff out there is what they call companions. So you actually have a lot more flowers than just than your favorite one. So anyway, keep it up, man. Keep it up.
All righty. Thank you. Appreciate you.
Larry, well, we appreciate you. Thank you. I wasn't too aggressive with him, was I, Java?
No, you weren't, but I didn't know that the daylily people had, like, their own kind of little thing.
They can't help themselves. You know, daylily people aren't happy unless they got at least 300 or 400 different kinds of daylilies. You know, and I'm okay with that, but it is a personality type.
I can tell, because when you asked him, he said he got about 400 or 500 out there.
Real quick anecdote. Years and years ago, I gave a talk up in Massachusetts at a daylily place. This guy sold he had over 7,500 different kind of daylilies for sale. 7,500. He told my daughter Zoe, she can have whichever one she wants. I'm thinking, holy cow, some of these sell for like $300. Anyway, she ran up. While I was giving my talk, she ran up and down. And I got a picture of a little girl in her dress going up and down all these daylilies. She came skipping up after the talk, and the owner, I was there, the other garden writer was there, the owner. He said, well, Zoe, which daylily did you pick out? And she said, well, I really didn't see one that I liked.
Out of the 7,000.
Because she grew that common old, still does, that common old double orange daylily that daylily people don't like because it's so common. That old orange one, which is the single most commonly planted, passed along, shared plant on earth. And, you know, you can put it on top of the ground and scooch dirt up around the roots and it'll grow.
Now, that says something right there.
Yeah.
It really does. Now, if you want to talk with Felder this morning, we are taking your calls during this special Pledge Drive program, 1-877-MPB-RING. That's 1-877-672-7464. But, Felder, I know we were talking about the cheesy tune, and somebody actually called in to the phone lines and told us about that Plant Man song. Oh, well, that was Kevin. Kevin knows everything, man.
Okay, I want to hear more because it was just a cheesy tune to me.
Kevin, get on the mic, because this was featured in the MTV show Beavis and Butthead.
Right, it was on season 5, which I looked it up, and again, it's not me. I do have a smartphone that has Google, so I can't claim to know things, but I love to look things up when something like this comes
up. You know, this
up.
Is Think Radio.
That's right. But from the drummer of it, was it Java, indie rock band?
The Pavement?
Yeah. So
it's not as obscure as I was thinking.
No, so anybody who watched Beavis and Butthead knows all about the Plant Man.
Exactly.
Yeah, we can say that on public radio, can't we?
Yeah, this is one of the only few places where you can get that kind of information right there. On a gardening show, 9 o'clk in the morning, and we're talking about Beavis and Butthead.
And by the way, speaking of things that we can mention, I mentioned there's going to be a plant swap in Mobile on the 30th. We'll talk about that next week. But this weekend, the Crosby Arboretum is having its fall native plant sale. You know, we get callers during the year. They want to know where they can get native azaleas and mountain laurels and Grancy Graybeard and all these other really cool but hard to find commercially native plants. Crawl Jar Rhythm today and tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, from 10 till 1. They got master gardeners. They got experts here to help you stuff. But it's the first exit 1 at Picayune, right before we go to Louisiana. First road to the right off of exit 1 at Picayune. Takes around behind the Walmart. Crawl Jar Rhythm is a cool place. They're having their great fall native plant sale today and tomorrow, October 22-23.
Now, which one of the plant swaps, because we've talked about it, plant swap, plant swale, sale is the oldest one in the universe.
Oh, that's one in Flora. Okay, and I haven't heard from that. It's usually, you know, usually it's like the, it should be coming up next Thursday, but I haven't heard anything about it. But the oldest plant swap in the known universe. And I was at it in 1990, I was at it. Yeah, at the Flora Library. So I don't know if that's going to be this year or not because of COVID.
Okay. Well, I knew about that. But next Saturday, you're going to be in Mobile.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a little cheesy tune break. This is a special drive time edition of the Gestalt Gardener. But we are taking your phone call. So 1-877-672-7464. This is one of my favorite ones that we play here on the show. But it's because it has a little creepy tinge to it.
Tiptoe Through the Tulips. That's from the 1920s. And it's got singing on it, too. But, you know, Tiny Tim didn't invent these songs that he sang. He sang a bunch of old tunes from the teens and the 20s.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That was the Tiny Tim version because it's used in the movie Insidious. And it's a scary movie. And it's just one of those songs. I know if Michelle was here, she would be like, don't play that song because it's creepy.
Yeah. And by the way, before we go to the drive time stuff, let me mention this. Last, you know, for years, I've had this coffee cup, the MPP coffee cup, and I never washed it. I rinsed it out, but never washed it. And it was just nasty, dark chocolate stained. And I actually left it at my son's house back in the spring, and my sweet daughter-in-law, Stevie, she's a hotshot lawyer. She cleaned my cup.
Wow.
She cleaned it.
How dare she?
Well, you know, she's trying to straighten her dad up, her father-in-law, you know. But anyway, I end up actually breaking it, and then y'all gave me a new cup that was clear, so I couldn't mess it up. An MPB clear coffee mug, and last week I brought it in with some goldfish in it. I just want to let you know, we posted a picture.
Yeah, we did.
And if you can, you can grow goldfish in a coffee cup and a couple of plants. Well, I let them loose in my bigger pond.
Okay.
And they're doing fine.
Okay,
so people
cool,
were concerned
cool.
that I was cooping them up, you know, and because goldfish get big. But no, I let them loose in a real garden. They're okay.
That's cool. But it was to your point, like you said, when starting with gardening and you may feel overwhelmed when you get to a big space,
yeah.
Just start small. You started with the I learned a few
start
things.
Start small. And by the way, before I drank coffee in it again, I did wash it out.
Oh.
Because of the goldfish poop.
Well, that's a good thing, Fred. But this is a special drive time edition, and I know normally we would be coming off of the air, but we are taking our phone calls. We have one coming through right now, 1-877-MPB-RING. That's 1-877-672-7464. But we're going to take a little pledge break to hear from Liz Gill, Lisa Lancaster, and let them know how you can help out during this final hours of drive time. Felder, you are part of this special gift that we're giving away today. Three of your books, right?
Three of my books, that's right. And folks, you know, it's toward the end of the hour, but those of you used to you know, going on to what's going on Mississippi, forget the
Next
name.
Stop Mississippi.
Next Stop Mississippi. We're going to do another hour of the Gestalt Gardener program live. So we're going to do a little drive time stuff and come back and talk to a lady from Columbia.
That's what we're going to do.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
All righty, folks. Yep, horticulturist Felder Rushing and me and Java and Kevin and Liz and all the other folks here at MPB. It's a live program, so if you want to give us a call, it's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING.
Now, Felder, before we go to
drive time.
Yeah, it's drive time, and before we go to the calls, have you ever been in the 10 o'clock slot here on MPB?
Nope.
So this is a first.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like a yoo-hoo. You know, let's do this. Bring it on. Let's talk about it. And we got some callers on the line, too.
Yeah.
Let's just jump right in. Let's go to Columbus to talk to is it Dietrich?
Yes.
Yeah. Howdy. What's going on this morning?
Hey, Felder. Good morning, man. How are you?
So far, so good.
Hey, you might have covered this already. I know you have in past series, but let me ask you a question. About weeds and far as going into the winter months in your lawn. I know you said to mow high and don't cut too low because that way we can shade out the weeds, correct?
That way your grass is healthier too when it's mowed high. It's meant to be, it's a prairie plant, not a carpet.
Okay, but let me ask you a question. Do we need to spray for like those dandelions and those thistles and things that pop back up in the spring?
There's two approaches. 2 weeks ago, there's a brand new organization started. It's called Refuge Lawn. It's a bunch of researchers from across the South, and I'm one of them, looking at ways to make it where there's two kinds of lawns. There's a managed lawn, like everybody told you're supposed to have, and what they call a meadow lawn, basically mow what grows, which is what I was raised with. And if you got a few clovers and dandelions and violets and henbits, it's okay. Just mow it grows, and the stuff that's out there in the wintertime is actually good for bees and butterflies that come out every nice sunny day in the middle of the winter. There's bees and butterflies out there. So some people say, just mow it grows and don't worry about the weeds. Call them wildflowers. But to answer your question, if you want to control them, the best time to control things that are weedy in the spring is to spray them in the winter. Not now, because the grass is still green. But if you got things like stickers and clover and dandelions and henbit, you just don't like them at all, make a note to go out and spray on a nice day in January or maybe early February. The weeds are small. They're more susceptible to the weed killers. It just does a better job and with least likely damaging your lawn. So if you want to spray, use a liquid spray, not a granule, not a pre-emerge, but a liquid spray. Nice warm day in January. And we're not thinking about them at all then. We don't think about them until they're blooming, and by then the weed killers don't work as well on a plant that's growing, sending food up into flowers. So it's hard to kill them in late February, March, and April. It's easy in January.
Okay. Let me ask you. Okay, that's great. Thank you. But let me ask you one other question. Is it too late to prune shrubs?
Actually, it's a little, yes, or a little too early. Here's the deal. If you cut plants in the late summer or fall, it's going to stimulate new growth. And that new growth, if it's too close to winter, it'll freeze in the winter. So we try not to do any hard pruning in October, early part of, late September, October, and wait till we get us a frost or freeze and the plants have stopped growing to neaten them up. The only danger is a lot of times people shear their hedges and they put out real tender, lush growth, and it's so tender, middle of winter, it turns brown.
Okay, I got it. So Thank you so much.
You're past being too late. You're just a little bit too early now.
Okay. Then I'll just wait till the spring come and trim back whatever I got to trim back.
Yeah, I mean, you can neaten stuff up as soon as you get a frost. But, if you can do some hard pruning, let's wait till closer to next summer.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the information.
Dietrich, I appreciate it. And by the way, if you do leave some of these wildflowers, if you decide to control your weeds, leave one or two clumps out there for the butterflies and birds. Put a little sign out, put a little plastic Easter egg, something that says, I'm leaving these for y'all.
And
just leave a few and just mow around them.
Gotcha. I gotcha.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. You have a good weekend.
Thank you. Starting out pretty darn good. This is a great way to start a week yakking about gardening. Let's slide up to Tupelo and see what's on Betty's mind. Good morning.
Good morning, Felder.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
Yep, so far.
Good. I have in my yard a very old rose.
Mm-hmm.
It's small. I mean, it grows probably grows to 5 feet tall.
Right.
Kind of leggy. But the flowers are small. I would say an inch, inch and a quarter in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
Not many petals. Pale, pale pink and almost white, some of the petals.
It blooms all the time?
It blooms all through the summer and into the fall, yes. And it's been in my yard, I bet, 100 years.
Hmm.
Any thoughts?
Not without looking at it. And here's the reason why. I work with rose growers. I lecture at the Antique Rose Emporium in Texas, for example, just about every year. And I grow probably 30 different kinds of roses in an old cemetery in Jackson just to show that, you know, that they grow. And I have 7 or 8, maybe 9 roses in my garden that are all ever blooming. I've got 3 different pink ones. I'm looking at 2 right now that I brought in. And without looking at it, you know, there's so many really good pink old garden roses. I just have to look at not only a flower, but a flower and a bud.
Okay.
So if there's any way you could take a picture, you put a flower and a bud, you know, side by side, maybe you put a quarter in there so for size comparison. Then if I don't know, I've got several friends scattered around the South who know more about roses than I do. I learn from them, and we'll try to put a name to it.
Okay, I will send pictures. That sounds great. One other quick thing. My sister is a composter, and she makes up what she calls compost tea.
Mm-hmm.
On her flowers in her yard and bushes and her houseplants. She catches the rainwater that drips through her compost.
Right.
And to it, she adds, I think, coffee grounds and I'm not sure, maybe ground up eggshells, which I know you said don't do anything.
But no, but it makes her feel better, so we're not going to say anything about it.
And she uses it that way and says that her plants just love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine. You know, when you put leaves on the ground and worms eat it, bacteria and fungi, and they break it down into what we call compost. But plants don't absorb compost. When it rains, it leaches nutrients out of the compost, and that's what plants absorb. And so all she's doing, she's just cutting to the chase. Instead of putting it in the ground and letting it rain do it, she's just skipping that middle person, going straight to putting the already dissolved stuff on her plant. And it works fine. It doesn't give plants everything they need, but it gives them stuff that regular commercial fertilizers don't. So to me, it's an excellent thing to do. But is it necessary? No. But, you know, it's actually a good thing to do.
Okay. That's what I needed to share.
Okay, Betty.
Have a great weekend.
I'm looking forward. And by the way, send that picture. Go to the easiest way to get a picture to me is by email. Go to felderrushing.blog. Not net, not my website, but a thing called Felder Rushing Blog. It has a little thing that says email me and click on that.
I will do it. Thank you so very much.
Okay, Betty, get out and enjoy a beautiful weekend.
I'm working on that. Bye-bye.
Now, Felder, where did this, because you've mentioned it before, and it was a couple shows ago about how, you know, eggshells, it makes people feel good, but it's not really anything behind it. How does something get started like that? Because why is it not, instead of eggshells, why is it not banana peels or
apple cores, they do fine because they dissolve into liquid stuff that plants can absorb. The idea that eggshells made out of calcium. We know plants like calcium. It keeps blossom in rot. But what people don't realize is that eggshells are a different kind of calcium. It doesn't dissolve. You can grind them up and put them in your garden and come back 100 years from now, I can show you those eggshells. But it's a good – it has to be broken down in the soil by acids, converted from calcium carbonate to some other kind of calcium. So it happens over a long time in an acidic soil. But if you want to use eggshells, grind them up, put a little vinegar on them, little acetic acid, which is natural, and it fizzes and all, but it converts it into the kind of calcium plants can use. Just working in the dirt, zero effect.
And instead of saying that entire spiel right there, and somebody comes along and says, I put eggshells in my garden, you say, good for you.
I say, mm-hmm. I mean, it's better than just throwing them away.
Yeah.
You know, but do they? No.
Let's go ahead and take one more call. We do have a pledge break coming up. This is a special. We're in the 10 o'clock hour doing the Gustav Gardner. Let's talk to David and Pass Christiane.
Morning, David. I was down in the pass last weekend.
Yeah, I enjoyed that flyover you arranged during the talk.
Oh, yeah, Java. I was giving this talk out in the library, and there's all these, you know, on the back of my truck, all these people in their lawn chairs and all. And I stopped in the middle of it because there were two bald eagles flying around over the top of us.
Oh, wow.
Bald eagles. I'm thinking if I had a BB gun, I'd be...
No.
Anyway, it was really cool. So, David, appreciate you reminding me of that. What's up?
Uh-oh, I think Dabo gets some emails over that.
Uh-oh.
I've got a place up there near you, too, and I want to transplant some of the suckers off of my banana plants. And when's the best time to do that? Well, should I put them in pots and wait until spring or what?
Well, you know, bananas, where they grow normally, they grow year-round. You know, they don't go dormant. They get killed down by frost, and they'll come back up. So, you know, anytime you get around to it, the main thing is you want to get some of the small plants around the outer edges and cut them back to a foot or so tall, slice them off, get a piece of root with them, put them in a pot, and they'll quickly put on new growth. They just think they've been, you know, browsed by an elephant or something. But, you know, cut them back. You could do that pretty much any time, but... you know, down on the coast, down in the pass, you know, they're not going to die down until we get us, you know, maybe late December, January. So, you know, if you want to go ahead and get a head start on it now, that'd be fine. But the main thing is, once you get cold, they die down, they come back up from the roots. So anytime you get around to it, it's just, they're not going to start growing again until next spring.
Got it. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate it. We had a big crowd in the pass last week. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed getting out and doing stuff literally all over the state. I did make a mistake, Java, a couple of weeks ago.
What'd you do?
I said that the only place I had not given a talk was Itawamba County.
And you made it there.
I made it there. It was Issaquena County.
Oh, yeah,
because okay. Issaquena doesn't have a courthouse or library. They share it with Rolling Fork, Sharkey County.
Oh, okay.
So it's a Queen of County.
We'll have to pick a field.
That's right. Anyway, I want to share a couple of things I got from folks this past week, but we're going to take a break, folks. It is live. We got a caller on the line, but give us a call. We'll talk about gardening. But it is drive time, and I deeply thank those of you who support Mississippi Public Broadcast, especially during this program, because it's just a real special thing. Gardeners helping gardeners.
And now we have Kevin Farrell and Robin Guidry.
Thanks, Java. You're listening to MPB, the Gestalt Gardener. Kevin Farrell here. Our fall fundraising campaign is sprinting to the finish line. As we've said all week, it takes about 3 minutes of your time when you go online at mpbonline.org, or you can give or text the word give to this number, 888-372-4483. Text it or call it to make your contribution. Thanks very much to everyone who's made a contribution so far. Still a chance on this final day of our drive time. Go ahead, do it now. You know you've been thinking about it all week. So we're calling on you to go ahead and do it right now.
Garden, the final front yard frontier. My mission is to explore strange new ground, to seek out new plants and new designs. To boldly grow where few people have grown before.
I'm supposed to be a horticulturist, but, you know, this is infotainment.
Felder, when I first got here, I think the Jackson Free Press had given you the Spaciest Jackson Award.
Yep, that's right. And I'm going to take that as a compliment, I guess. And by the way, folks, I wish that y'all could have seen Kevin's face when he said, do it now. You've wanted to do it. So we do appreciate the folks who support MPB, and we're doing a special second hour of this. And I got some stuff to talk about. Well, we've had guys hanging on to the...
Richard has been hanging on
from Natchez. Hey, Richard, how are you, man?
Man, I'm fine. I thought I was going to have to make a trip to the water closet, man.
Well, grab a cup and let's keep talking. What's up, man?
Hey, look, I met you and Java and Java's grandma at PIN earlier this year.
That was fun. That was a pretty day, too.
Yeah, and I was proud to meet all of you. My question is, on my property, years ago, I had a pine tree that fell. 40, 50 feet long.
Uh-huh.
the entire trunk is fat. It is all lighter pine.
Wow, it's an old tree.
Can you tell me why? I mean, normally I'd find stumps that are fat, but could you tell me why that entire trunk is fat?
I don't know. A lot of people don't understand when you say fat. Explain to them what lighter log is. Because, I mean, I know it is, but how would you describe it? Because you got a whole different way of putting things into words.
Okay. It's full of resin. It's what you would take and make turpentine out of when you see these trucks going down the road with stumps of pine trees in their cargo.
Yeah.
But this is it's called lighter pine, fat pine, lighter knots.
Yeah, it's got more of the intense. The sap is hard, sort of like maple sap turning into maple syrup inside the tree. Except this is pine. Yeah, this is pines, and I don't know. It could be Richard. You know, some species absorb more than others, but it could also be that particular tree, where its roots were growing, it caused it to just not grow as vigorously. You know, a plant that grows real fast is not going to have as much of the rosin in it. It could be that the tree was in a place where its roots were almost stunted, so it was growing slowly and sturdy rather than quick and tall like they would for making lumber out of. So it could just be that the tree was in a place that's making it just grow slow and steady, and it just packed itself up with the resin instead of spending all of its energy growing tall and big wide branches. Sound like it's been doing it a long time too. So anyway, that's my educated guess. I studied plant physiology, but I'm still guessing.
Well, I've got my minor in botany at Southern. But nothing, economic botany, by the way.
Yeah.
But nothing ever prepared me for this.
Well, like I said, when you study, you know, plant physiology is what makes cells do certain things. You know, it's not just botany, but what drives the energy and all. And the concentrated pine sap, which we call resin, is usually in the older parts of the trees where it's been concentrated for a long time, sort of like making coal. And again, I'm just theorizing that particular tree was not growing as vigorously, so it concentrated its sap instead of sending out a lot of stems and leaves and stuff. That's just a good educated guess.
Look, I've already cut off about 3 or 4 6-foot sections and given them as gifts to my friends.
It's sticky with sap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's probably 30 or 40 feet still left on the ground. Now, this tree was probably 30 inches at the base, and probably 18 at the top.
Yeah.
I've never come across.
Interesting question, man. I do appreciate it, but we got a scoop. I wish we could talk about it. I got an email the other day. Somebody wanted to know, does a pine tree or does bamboo make more oxygen?
Oh, wow.
And I know the answer because I had to do some head scratching, but that's the kind of stuff, you know, here on Think Radio we get into.
And I do remember, Richard, we had a good time out there in Natchez at the Pig Out.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Richard was up there.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good time. But, yeah, we got a full bank of calls, man.
Okay, so you ready to go to the next one?
Yeah, let's go to Jerry in Belmont.
Hey, Jerry. Good morning.
Good morning, Felder.
Howdy. What's up?
Felder, trimmed our azaleas back in May, as always, but because of the unusually wet summer, we got a tremendous regrowth in these, and they look ratty now to take over winter.
Yeah.
And we're tempted to cut them back. We know we'll damage the foliage next spring, but what would you do? They look like we
don't care. Okay. And by the way, you know, this happens every year, but this year seems to be more than normal. What happens when you prune them is they spread out new growth that shoots up really, really tall. And if you don't do anything, it has flowers at the very tips. So everything that's out there right now is going to have flowers on it. And whatever you cut, there go those flowers. Here's what you do in the fall, though. If you'll reach into the plant, you know, beneath the canopy of it, a lot of those tall, skinny things are connected at one spot. You can make one cut down into the plant and remove several of those tall things without pruning the overall plant. In other words, just thin out the tall stuff, down in the canopy. Don't just prune it flush with the top of the plant, but reach down and make a few cuts here and there and get rid of the tall stuff and leave as much of it unpruned as you can, and then do your regular pruning next year. No, just thin out the tall, skinny stuff without cutting the whole plant like a shrub.
Okay. Well, thanks, Felder. Appreciate that.
One other thing. You can keep this happening next year. When you prune it next spring, make a note to go back in June or the first part of July and trim it one more time. Cut the new growth again, and instead of getting long and tall the rest of the summer, it'll bush out with a bushier or more flowers. So, you know, prune hard after the flowers, and then sort of lightly in the end of June, first of July. That'll help it a lot.
Very good, Felder. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
But now what? We got callers. I don't know who's next.
Oh, I thought your bifocals were working. let's talk to Gail. Now, I really can't tell where Gail is calling from.
Hebron.
Okay.
Yep. Good morning, Gail. Hey. How are you?
I'm good. I'm the one that sent you a picture of my live oak tree.
With all the weird stuff on it.
Yes.
Yeah, and I actually forwarded that to myself to look it up, but I got it. You sent it like night before. Anyway, I haven't had a chance. But I have you found out something since I said I don't know?
No, I was going to go by the extension office and see if they knew.
Well, do that, but you know, at the same time, it's at the top. I had actually forwarded it to myself last night to look it up today. But nothing to worry about right now. I don't think it's a problem on your tree, but I just hadn't had a chance to do my head scratching yet.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, appreciate it.
Now, what's classified as weird stuff?
Well, it's got like long, skinny, little brown hair sticking out of the stems.
Okay.
Yeah. And but notice this: people hold my feet to the fire.
Oh yeah, come on, Felder. you set yourself up because you answer basically all your emails.
People come to expect it. I don't know it all, and I have to do some researching too. So anyway, there you go. Now let's slide way up north to Holly Springs. Hey, Gwen, how are you today?
Hey, Felder.
Hello.
I've got a dead elm tree. Mm-hmm. And it's got the grandfather of all poison ivies. Now, when I cut that down and if I remove the bark, can I burn that wood in a wood stove?
Yes, as long as it doesn't have the poison ivy vine on it, because the poison ivy vine has got the oil in it that can cause poison ivy through the smoke inside your lungs.
But that's just in the bark, huh?
Well, you know, the vine, it's a poison ivy, the hairy vine. You know, if you just pull it off of the, you know, in other words, just get it down to just the tree, I wouldn't worry about it at all.
Okay, thanks a bunch.
That's a great question, but thank you.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Because it's all about the oil, poison ivy oil, not so much the plant.
That's right. And by the way, let me throw this out. I wanted to mention this, that I had some notes here. Oh. Magnolia flag, Mississippi magnolia flag.
Uh-huh.
I got the very first one last year. When they were voting to approve it, I immediately ordered one. But I had to replace it a couple of weeks ago because after over a year of being out in the weather, it started to get kind of faded.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I got the other one hanging up in my house. But, you know, this time of year with the goldenrod and the fall flowers and stuff like that, it's a pretty flag. Flower.
Yeah, no, it is. Now, today is a special edition if you're not used to hearing from nobody. This is the first time it's happened. Here in Felder, in the 10 o'clock hour, we are taking your Southern Gardening questions, 1-877-MPB-RING. That's 1-877-672-7464. We do have a pledge break coming up with Michael Guidry and Kevin Farrell. But, Felder, you said in the last hour you're going to be in Mobile next Saturday, correct?
Next Saturday. That's right, 10 o'clock.
Next Saturday for Plant Swap.
It's a really good plant swap. It's at the Central Presbyterian Church, which is an old part of town, St. Anne and Dolphin Street. It's a really cool, a lot of people show up. It's really, really easy. It's easy and fun. And I'll be there in my truck with all the stuff growing in the back.
Now, we've played a lot of cheesy tunes, and one that's become like another tradition with Gus Muhammad is when you were in the pub.
Pub in England, Northern England, which is like really rural.
And the guys were trying to spell Mississippi.
Go for it. And keep in mind, they were drinking room temperature beer.
Okay, I'm at a pub, and I'd like to find out how these spell Mississippi in Northern English.
Well, it's M-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
What? M-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
Mississippi, Mississippi, there's Mississippi going on here. If you go east, there's Alabama. If you go west, there's Louisiana. If you go north, there's Tennessee. And Arkansas's next to Mississippi. There's just Mississippi going on around here.
Mississippi.
Mississippi. Stuff like this sticks to me, Java.
It sticks to me. This is a song that's in my head. I know this.
There's a guy named Lawrence Chance who did that from outside of Hasbro. He's another singer-songwriter, you know, and he just did that little song about Mississippi.
Well, yeah, that's just a little taste of what we do here at MPB.
Slice of life. Not going to hear it anywhere else.
Especially not the Gussow Gardener.
No.
So now we are taking your Southern Gardening questions, 1-877-672-7464. Craig from Biloxi, we appreciate you calling in. Hold on, we're going to come to you, but we can get your call right now, 1-877-MPB-RING, 1-877-672-7464. But with a more important number, I will say that just for today, a more important number as we are in our final day of our fall fund drive.
Pledge.
I had one of those famous Felder brain farts. Okay, so now we're going to talk with Michael Guidry and Kevin Farrell.
Potatoes is love, my gravy love. Potatoes is love, my gravy love. Potatoes is love, my gravy love. Tomatoes and potatoes and my peas. Tomatoes and potatoes and my peas.
Oh boy, cheesy tunes, man.
The one thing that people aren't seeing is every time I play a song, you look to Kevin and Michael and say, "Have you heard this one? Have you heard this one?" It's like, but we got about 75%. No, I had never heard this one.
Yeah. Well, listen, before we take this other call, let me mention this. This past summer, I was, I think, the only American journalist to cover the opening of the new Royal Horticulture Society Botanic Garden called Bridgewater, or Bridge North, up and out from Manchester, England. I think I was the only American journalist to cover it. And they had these beautiful flower borders that people were walking by just taking pictures of over and over and over. These plants, talking about waist high to over head high, stunning borders over and over and over, repeated groups of plants, and 80% of them, 4 out of every 5 was native to Mississippi.
Just something we take for granted.
We take it for granted. But they take these great plants and they put them in groups and then repeat the groups. And they have these beautiful borders. And they're from Mississippi. You can have that in your own garden.
There you go.
So anyway, let's go down to Biloxi and talk with Craig. I appreciate you holding, man. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. How about you?
So far, so good. Not so bad.
Yeah, okay. I have some three greenhouse questions. Is one is how do you pollinate things in a greenhouse?
A good question. If the pollen has to go from one flower to another, you know, not separate mailing, you got to do it by hand. What they do in commercial greenhouses with like tomatoes and peppers, you know, they're supported on strings or, you know, cages, whatever. They go by, they got a little machine that shakes the things. You know, you can shake the pollen loose by thumping the plants or thumping the stems or the supports it's on. But you got to shake the pollen loose.
Okay. No, there's no bees. They don't put bees in them, huh?
No, they don't. You know, there are some little pollinating flies, but it's hard to grow things that have separate male and female flowers. You know, things like squash and cucumbers, they pollinate those by hand. It sounds kind of kinky, but it works.
Okay. The second one would be what kind of glass or plastic would be best? I have some sliding doors I want to use.
I actually use the sliding doors myself on mine because they're easier. If you're going to go with, it doesn't really matter. The plastic has to be replaced from time to time. The glass is more or less permanent. But keep in mind that even on the coast, you don't need glass on the north side of your greenhouse if you're building one. We get no light in the wintertime from the north. It's all from the south. So if you have a solid wall with a greenhouse built on the south side of it, you have less heating to do, and you get all the energy you need from the south. So a freestanding greenhouse is for most home gardeners isn't necessary, and it costs a lot more to build and to heat than just a simple lean-to on the south side of, let's say, a compost bin or a shed or something.
Yeah, okay. And my last question here has to do with the carbon dioxide to kill the bugs in a greenhouse. Is that
No, that's not a thing.
That's not a thing?
Nope.
Okay. I was researching CO2 for something, and it said it will kill bugs.
It will if it's highly concentrated. But, you're not going to make it back to the door if you have that much in your own greenhouse. It's not, in real life, a thing.
Okay. I didn't know. I couldn't find that.
If it was, you could just blow on them, between the carbon dioxide and the beer, that'll take care of a lot of plants.
On that same thing, do these greenhouses have to be vented well?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay.
Now, for one thing, it's going to get too hot. A greenhouse can overheat just like leaving a goldfish in a car on a hot day with the windows rolling. You got to vent them to keep them cool, even in the wintertime on a sunny day.
Right. I plan on putting vent up way high and then next to the ground.
Or just a little window, or leave the door propped open. Just something for the heat to escape.
Okay, and that would be it for me. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it, and I hope you're supporting us during the drive time. I ain't gonna say any more. Bye.
Well, something awesome did happen, and I think it's continued to happen. People are calling into the show to get the pledge number.
Cool.
So 1-877-MPB-RING, that's 1-877-672-7464 to get your answers to your Southern Gardening questions.
You lost me on all those numbers. One is 877-RING.
MPB-RING. Our general every Friday number that they call.
Which are letters. I can remember MPB-RING.
MPB-RING, yeah.
But the drive time thing is?
888-372-4483.
Which spells give.
Yes. we get head nods from the higher ups.
Okay, let's squeeze another couple of calls. We're going down to Kosciuszko and talk to TJ. Hey, TJ.
Hey, Felder, how you doing?
Fine. What's going on?
You're going to know what I'm talking about. And when you go back to England, you can share this with them to how to spell Mississippi.
Okay.
The way I learned to spell it, because I'm an old Delta boy, and you probably know this.
I'm from the Delta.
I know. Am I crooked letter? I crooked letter. I humpback I. you remember that?
Of course I do. And not only that, but they say that in England, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Cool, man. Hey, I got to share something with you real quick, TJ. When I'm in England, they find out from Mississippi. They all know Mississippi. They think Elvis and Oprah and the blues and all that. They always say, have you ever been to the Delta? They always say that because the Delta blues. And, TJ, I flunked out of Moorhead. You don't flunk out of Mississippi Delta Junior College because you're dumb because they'll work with you. I partied out of Mississippi Delta. I'm from the Delta. Anyway, appreciate your call, man.
Well, good job, Mohead.
Go ahead. See ya.
All right, bye.
And by the way, Jav, congratulations on the game last week. I heard a boom at my house, and I'm 3/4 of a mile away.
Yeah, last Saturday, Jackson State's homecoming, the biggest homecoming, HBCU homecoming in history, 53,000 packed into the Mississippi Veterans Memorial Stadium, and it was a great win.
Yeah, the cars are backed up all the way to Meadowbrook and on the interstate because I was trying to get to my house.
Yeah, the traffic was really, really, really bad, but it was a good time.
We appreciate all the folks who have supported MPB during the whole week, but particularly during this program. I really, really appreciate it, and we're going to get through another year. We're going to have a good time. Anytime I can promote something y'all are doing gardening-wise, let us do it. It's a community. We create a community here at MPB. And by the way, Ryder Taft, who does the money thing.
Yeah, Money Talks, Tuesdays at 9.
I got him to help me with my stuff. He saved me enough money where I need to pledge during his program.
Well, yeah, Ryder is good at what he does.
He's a young thing, but he knows his stuff.
Yeah, Ryder knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. So it's been a fun 2 hours.
Yeah, it's been fun. Time is zooming by, but you still have time to support the pledge drive. Is an awesome prize today, which includes a brand new Kindle, Amazon gift card, so you can fill it up with books. Also, you get some old school physical books from the man Felder Rushing. You said three of your most important. I didn't like this statement.
Well, you know, I've written like 30 something books, but there's only three that are what I call the three chords, three things that are important in my life to share: good plants, good gardening, and good people. You can't have a garden without good plants, plant them well, and good people to create a garden. And that's what Pass Along Plants, Slow Gardening, and Maverick Gardeners. With the Maverick Gardeners that came out this spring, it featured Dr. Dirt, who was my co-host here for years and years. He passed away, but he was one of the best gardeners I've ever met on earth. Grew all sorts of stuff, shared with others, and he planted in plain old D-I-R-T dirt.
Yeah, Dr. Dirt. And when we were going around with Felder on the road, a lot of people would often come up and, you know, have different stories and things about Dr. Dirt.
Well, I want to share a couple of things real quick.
Yeah, come on.
I've done some good stuff. I've done some bad things. And admit, the bad thing that I did was there's a crabapple tree at a church in my neighborhood.
Okay.
And nobody ever picks them. I've been watching them for years. So this year I picked a whole bunch of crab. I stole them from the church. But I made preserves with it and shared it with other people. So I tried to I spread it out, got it off the church grounds and put it out in the community, which is sort of like what we're doing here with MPB. And the other thing is I've got these really weedy plants in my yard. Yeah, they're beautiful, but they come up from seeds everywhere. It's called purple perilla, and it comes up everywhere. So what I did was last week is I cut my plants down. I shook the seeds upside down in a trash can, and I've got a great big double handful, and I'm throwing them out my truck window.
Just to let them fly. Yeah, yeah.
I'm putting them in other people's yards, and they're so pretty, they're not going to know.
So you're doing your own form of guerrilla gardening.
Guerrilla garden, that's right, that's right. Along the roadside, whatever. I'm taking wildflowers and other things, and I'm like Johnny Appleseed of the wheat. I'm the Johnny Weed Seed.
Oh, come on.
And I don't take it back either.
That's all right. That's all right, fella. That's all right.
So anyway, now what? Can we squeeze in another cheese? Because I know Kevin and them are ready to talk about stuff. How you want?
Yeah, we can squeeze in another cheesy too. You sent me. Come on, give me your request.
Do the kale one.
With Susan?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, this is another classic. This is another classic.
It's been brought to your attention that you frequently recommend a particular type of kale. So say lacinata, and they'll say blue kale. And then they'll struggle with third one, the purple kind. They might struggle with that. But anyway, you go and ask them all. You can ask anybody down at MPB. And if you don't know, they ain't listening.
And she actually, and this was recorded secretly.
Yeah. Lacinata, my favorite kale. If you don't know it, you ain't listening.
That's a good one. That's a nice way to end today's drive time show.
Take it away, guys.
Dear Felder, we sure love your show. You play cheesy music and share what you know about gardening and fun things and making things pretty. Helping us all, even kids, to get dirty. Signed, Dear Gardener, I love what we do. By planting and tending, we help the world too. Your phone calls and emails help Java and me jive. Now please call, support us, and keep this show live. Signed.